the spiritual, the paranormal, angels,
demons,
off-worlders,
UFOs,
conspiracies,
weird weather, seen and the unseen. It's Sight Unseen with your host, psychic and medium, Danielle Agnew.
Hey everybody, how are you? Happy Wednesday! Danielle Agnew here, coming to you on mtradio.net, broadcasting from the beautiful Big Sky Country here in Billings, Montana. How are you guys? Happy midweek. Dang it, I gotta tell you, I love broadcasting on a Wednesday because we are coming at you in the middle of the week. There's a lot that's happened so far, and it's only flipping Wednesday, people. It's only Wednesday. Good heavens, how about that G4 magnetic storm that we had actually was last night, and that thing rattled the ionosphere, and I was getting tagged like crazy. My dear friend, who is also a paranormal investigator, I've been on paranormal investigation jaunts with him before, David Harvey down in Los Angeles, tagged me and was like, hey, guess what? We've got this huge geomagnetic storm. Now, had it not been cloudy last night in Montana, we could have looked up into the sky and seen this amazing green hue. People in the northern states were reporting auroras that were green, the sky being just generally green. A G4 solar storm is pretty big. That's a pretty big electromagnetic wonk onto the Earth. And what I was noticing today was a lot of secondary effects of this solar storm, from everything from, well, our ionosphere is disturbed when that big solar storm hits us. For those of you that are unaware of how coronal mass ejections affect the Earth, this is what happens. So the sun has a flare, and it just goes kapoosh, and usually there's several thousand times bigger than the planet Earth. And this big old splash, kind of like a big old splash of paint, starts heading towards the Earth. Well, it hits our magnetosphere, which is the magnetic atmosphere around us that protects us from a lot of solar radiation and other gnarlies out in space. And it hits that magnetosphere and it goes all the way around, kind of like a bug shield, just all the way around the Earth. And it makes that sound, I'm sure, all the way around. Now, when this happens, obviously, a significant portion, but not all, of that electromagnetic energy is absorbed through the magnetosphere and hits what is called our ionosphere. And I want you to picture the ionosphere around the Earth like a great big net, kind of with big diamond-shaped holes just all over the Earth. And when that G4 electromagnetic bursts hits that upper atmosphere, it ignites that amazing ionosphere. And I want you to picture a fishnet made of wire with all kinds of little electrical bursts going all the way through it. And that's what happens and continues to happen all the way around the Earth, not just during the time that the solar flare hits the magnetosphere, but it continues on afterwards, kind of like a ripple effect, like the sound that thunder makes. You know, there's a crack of lightning and then thunder just rolls across the sky. Well, the ionosphere takes a while for this electromagnetic energy to roll through it before it can discharge all of it. And the ionosphere is also the, if you will, the racquetball wall that we bounce all of our communications off of. So if we're broadcasting down, I don't know, some cell tower shoots up onto the ionosphere and just kind of ricochets off. And that's how we clear the curvature of the Earth. That's how signals get around the Earth. That, or we beam it right up to a satellite and it comes right back on through, down through the atmosphere. So the point being is that our ionosphere, if I can say our ionosphere twice in a row on this show today, I'll be amazed. Our ionosphere is very, very important, not only to keeping the Earth safe and allowing extra electromagnetic discharge to wing around the Earth and poof off into space instead of all hitting the Earth, but it's also what we ricochet our communications off of from a terrestrial perspective, okay? Obviously, we're beaming through that ionosphere if we're up in space with a satellite. So the reason I'm going through all of this is because we had a huge G4 magnetic disturbance yesterday on St. Patrick's Day. And people were coming into my office today, especially the empaths, And their little bells were just rung today, well and truly rung. Empaths, of course, in the spiritual gift set, are people who feel everything. They feel information. And I oftentimes draw an equivocation with empaths to animals in the wild kingdom who feel wave impulses. For instance, catfish and their whiskers. Catfish will sit at the bottom of a very muddy river. And here will come some predatory disturbance above the catfish, and the catfish is feeling these pressure waves in the water through its catfish whiskers. That's what they feel. They feel pressure waves. And the catfish knows to keep its nose into the sand until, of course, the predator goes over the top. When we're dealing with people who are empaths, we're all empathic as human beings, unless you're a sociopath, in which case you're not. However, most people have empathy and can say, oh man, it sucks you lost your job. An empath is a little different. That's someone who literally uptakes pressure waves of information through the heart chakra and then pulls information off of the emotionality through the heart chakra. And that information is then translated as, if you will, spiritual abilities, psychic abilities, whatnot. However, it has to do with going through the heart. Also, empaths have a heck of a time sleeping a lot of times if electromagnetic disturbances are really jacked up. Well, clearly a coronal mass ejection is a really big electromagnetic disturbance, especially to planet Earth when our ionosphere just gets its bell rung. Have you ever, big church bells, guys, have you ever heard those ring? You whack them and they don't just go bing and stop ringing. I mean, they ring. They're like bing and they keep going until that decay happens. So is our ionosphere around the Earth. So today, even though the big G4 solar storm happened yesterday, folks were really coming in rattled, especially the empaths, who basically pull energy and information from their surrounding environment and pull it through the heart chakra to interpret it. Whenever you jack up electromagnetic signatures, what you're doing is jacking up anything in the atmosphere that an empath is going to pull through their heart, their crown, and their third eye. All of those chakras, of course, the crown being on the top of the head and the third eye being kind of between your eyebrows. Whenever you do that and you're an empath and you're pulling all that energy and the energy is jacked up to begin with because there's a lot of EMF in the air, thanks to our ionosphere being rung, it makes for a very exhausting day and it makes it hard to focus for people. And what I was seeing today were many wonderful little empaths coming in saying, I'm so tired. I can't stand it. What's happening? Ah! And also, guys, keep in mind that heightened loads of electromagnetic energy also affect both the electromagnetic organs in our body. Okay, now I know this is like Mr. Science Guy today, but come on, it's fun to learn stuff. Come on! The brain is an electromagnetic organ. If you look at the synapses in the brain, which actually transfer thoughts from one section of the brain to the other, and you blow them up under a big pretend microscope, they look like lightning, okay? Big electromagnetic organ is the brain. The other electromagnetic organ is the heart. It's the heart. So when we have these G4 disturbances, it is common for people to feel agitated. Okay, and I'll tell you why. High EMF loads, high electromagnetic frequency loads, if they are off the charts, say in your home, there is EMF in your home all the time. Guess that's called electricity, you guys. EMF is running through your walls. That's why an electrician comes with a K2 meter to make sure that you don't have EMF or electromagnetic frequency leaks in your home, because if you do, the following are very common symptoms: irritability, headaches, paranoia, the feeling of being watched. If the EMF load is non-grounded and leaking into your room like crazy, people have reported skin irritations and vomiting and nausea. Our body reacts to large electromagnetic loads, which on a sidebar is going to bring us into ghost hunting and ghosts this next half. But right now we're kind of building up to that because ghost energy and spirit energy in part is made of electromagnetic matter. And that's how we can actually pick up ghosts on the same type of little devices that electricians use to go through your house and make sure that your wiring is grounded, K2 meters and other things. So when we're dealing with this solar flare, And our ionosphere, oh, I got through that one right on. Our ionosphere ringing like crazy. What you're dealing with is people feeling irritable. And if you're someone who is more in touch with your spiritual gifts and abilities than, say, someone else who might be just kind of cruising through life and may think you have a little intuition, but you're not losing sleep over it, today and yesterday could be a very tough slog to get through them. One of the things that we experience when we're experiencing high yields of electromagnetic energy is a lot of spiritual and psychic information. Now, keep in mind that when you go ghost hunting, in part, ghosts, if you will, spirits are EMF, and ghost hunters will actually bring to the location that they are investigating a device called an EMF bomb. And what that EMF bomb does is kind of barf EMF. Well, it doesn't kind of, it does. It barfs EMF. It creates electromagnetic fields and barfs it into the atmosphere. And the belief there is that spirit life can then use that electromagnetic energy to be able to communicate. And actually, it's pretty effective. It's kind of a cool little ghost hunting tool. Investigators do tend to catch on film or on video, whatever they're doing, on their digital recording devices, more phenomena in highly charged EMF areas. Okay? Why do you think that when there's a big old lightning and thunderstorm outside, it's easier to catch ghosts on camera or on your electronic devices? Because the whole air is charged with electromagnetic frequencies. Lightning is pure EMF. That's all it is, just kapoof. So when we're dealing with the human brain and the heightening of psychic abilities, when we do have solar storms, it does affect how we think. It affects how we feel. It affects the electromagnetic organ between our ears called the brain. And it loads that brain with a frequency that kind of jacks it up a little bit. It can cause fatigue and irritation. For spiritual gifts and abilities, just in the same manner that, if you will, a ghost bomb, an EMF bomb, will enhance spirits in a location to be able to be caught on camera and on electronic devices, a solar storm will also enhance people's psychic abilities. Because, you know, all of our perception, guys, comes through the brain. And yes, we are spiritual creatures in a flesh suit. And what do you think makes that electricity happen in your body? What do you think the electromagnetism in your body is? That's your spirit. So just like the ionosphere getting its bell rung by this big G4 storm, okay, your brain gets its bell rung as well. Even though we are generally protected by the magnetosphere and the ionosphere, there is still a load of electromagnetic energy that comes through our atmosphere. And what's it do? It knocks on our skull and it rattles around the brain like a marble. It says, hey, what you doing in there? So people can report seeing spirits very clearly because their brain has more juice in it in a way that it can process everything that's going on, in addition to the atmosphere having more juice in it, so that any spirit life that's wandering around can take advantage of that. Whenever we have big solar storms like this G4, which is particularly large, whenever we have a geomagnetic storm like that, our vortex points on the Earth yawn very widely because they have all this energy that's coming through them. And when we have those vortex points yawn, that also lets spirit life in and out and through like a revolving door. So during times of very heavy geomagnetic storms, we do have a great increase in paranormal activity and in our awareness. And I always think this is fun. You know, as a psychic and medium, I've always got these aptitudes are running 24/7 on me, and I'm very aware of them. What's fun is watching people who might not be as aware of their abilities, all of a sudden today going, oh my God, I had the hugest hunches, or oh my God, I had these amazing ideas, or oh my God, I'm feeling like I've got a jetpack on my back and I need to do something with this energy because the electromagnetic organ between your ears called the brain is just full of energy, and so is your spirit. If you are experiencing today a higher than normal yield of energy or paranoia or fatigue, or yesterday when this G4 actually hit the atmosphere, give me a call. Tell me all about it. Call me in studio, 406-545-4496, option one. Make sure to hit option one. Again, that's 406-545-4496, option one. Or you can chat with us in the chat room, and that's mtradio.net/chat. I want to hear what's going on with you guys out there. I want to know, today and yesterday, did you have like extra itchy skin? Were you really, really cranky and you have no idea why? Were you all of a sudden filled with this unbelievable awareness that was psychic and then had proof of it later on? I mean, I want to hear about this stuff because this is very, very common when we're dealing with geomagnetic storms. I love to hear people's adventures about this, especially people who track solar storms. You know, there's 1,000,010 different kinds of apps that you can download to your Android and your iPhone or whatever device you have that track solar storms. And actually, NOAA has a really cool one for, I think it's like $5 a month or something, but it's really cool because they are constantly updating this thing. And I kind of have to laugh about this because we have so many conspiracy theorists out there that are just very, very sure that the United States government is hiding the fact that we're going to have some earth-frying, huge coronal mass ejection that we're not, you know, hearing about. I have not actually seen, from the psychic perspective, a giant solar flare that fries the earth. I have seen, however, a really, really big one that fries the electromagnetic grid on the earth and fries the electronics, but not the people. That hasn't happened yet, obviously, because if it had, guess what? We wouldn't be chatting right now. So that's a future issue. I'm telling you guys, write things down with pen and paper, because if you think about the power of electronics, we use them for everything. And hospitals still have good old gas generators in case they need to go off the grid and they need to generate electricity. And what's fascinating is that we don't even think about how huge an EMF blast, if set off above the United States, we don't even think about how easily that can fry our electronics. I'm smiling at Sean over here, who is one of, amongst the many things, our tech and our operations manager and everything else. And he's also a very big tech guru. And Sean, I'm pretty sure you're aware of what I'm talking about with the potential of a giant EMF blast to fry the electronics everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just like a nuclear blast would. It's the electromagnetic, especially in newer electronics, the gap between the traces are so small that high energy can just get in there and fry it all.
Absolutely. And the most freakazoidal thing of all here being that this electromagnetic energy will not hurt a person per se, but it will be enough of a yield to completely fry out computers, relays, car, anything that is electronic is toast. And it's not like you can just go and you know, fix it or jump it. I mean, it fries circuit boards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of the solar storm, Brian here in the chat room was saying, well, this explains why I couldn't sleep the past couple days. And it's funny, you know, I couldn't sleep last night either. I stayed up all night and I kind of had an epiphany moment when it came to work, and I took pages and pages of notes and just got all kinds of stuff done last night.
That is so awesome.
So yeah, maybe it had to do with the energy out there. Jeanette here also says, I work in a haunted castle, in quotes, which was built on a vortex, and today was an off day. Kind of wish we'd been there today.
Wow, this is awesome. Okay, Brian and Jeanette, first of all, and Sean, I mean, the fact that you took all of these notes last night, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Your neural net said, yep, I'm receiving. And Sean, you're a huge empath. So you're going to be, you are, and you're going to be ignited with all of this. You know, Brian, yeah, not being able to sleep, that is a hugie. My wife last night was really struggling to get some sleep, and I did some energy work on her, and she passed out. Jeanette, I wish you would have been there too. This would have been an awesome day. There's still going to be some, if you will, some ringing effects of this going into this week. But yeah, yesterday and today were some big dead ringers for this. Another thing you guys can keep in mind also is that we have a really big full moon coming up. And this full moon coming up is an important one. So it's not really accidental that we have a giant solar flare and this big significant full moon coming up. And for those of you that are in the Montana area, I started a group on Facebook called Big Sky Spirit Family. And please feel free to put in an invitation to join. It's open to all people, of course. The focus, of course, is practitioners and spiritual people who find this interesting up in the Big Sky country here. But of course, you're welcome to join from wherever. And we have a wonderful cat, a wonderful member of our group who posts the most interesting things. And she's talking about Friday, March 20th. It's a super moon, and the new moon, it's a new moon that has a greater effect on tides and our electromagnetic fields, a time of new beginnings and greater intuition. And this is the vernal spring equinox. It's the equal night, equal day. Also, spring begins, a new season and a time of rebirth, renewal, and regrowth. And of course, because, you know, as if that's not enough really, really cool stuff to have, you got the total solar eclipse. And it's the last day of Pisces. Again, this is March 20th. This is this Friday, which is in a couple of days. It's the last of the day of Pisces and then entering a new astrological sign of Aries and thus a new astrological year, beginning of a new 26,000 year energetic cycle. And this is happening this Friday, people. So if you have projects, if you have hopes and dreams, if you have new things you're going to do with your business, which I'm picking up off of Sean and trying not to eavesdrop on because that's just rude. So if you have things that you're going to do, this super moon coming up on this Friday is a very important time to really meditate or think about or put energy towards these pursuits. And not only is this super moon coming up on Friday, the spring equinox, but we also are still going to be having some of this, if you will, electromagnetic energy just kind of rolling through our ionosphere. Oh my God, really? Our ionosphere still during that time. So this is going to be an enormously charged time. Not to mention that Taurus is coming back into its native planet of Venus, into its alignment with Venus. And that's its ruling planet. And that has to do with home, hearth, money, business, ideas, getting something new started. And that's going to be there all the way through until, I believe, April 11th. So this is going to be, this Friday is a whopper, people. Put your nose to the grindstone intentionally, as well as emotionally, as well as with your pen and paper, so to speak, and get some new ideas birthed out there. This is an amazing time to do that.
Jeanette here in the chat room wants to know, is there a pre-effect to the solar flares that her non-corporeal colleagues could have been feeling?
Yes, absolutely. The thing of it is, as the sun gets ready, thank you, Sean, as the sun gets ready to burst and do its thing, it's like a tide, okay? I want you to picture the moon pulling on the earth and then all of the salt water pulling back off the beaches. And then as the moon changes position, then all that water gets pushed back onto the coast. Electromagnetically, as the sun is preparing to have a coronal mass ejection, there is a bit of a recess around the earth magnetic field. It's almost like it sucks back in and then poof, goes back out again. It's very minimal, but it is enough. It's a back like a... poof. Just because matter, you got to move matter in space, guys, and it's a vacuum. So if something's barely moving on one end, it's barely moving on the other. So yeah, the answer to that, Jeanette, is yes. And we are going to be feeling the effects of that for several days afterwards. On average, it takes the human brain 48 to 72 hours to recover from any change in electromagnetivity that it experiences. And I don't even know if experiences is a word, nor electromagnetivity, whatever. However, it does take between 2 and 3 days for our brain to settle back into its own biorhythm and predominant brainwave activity. So we are going to feel this. What I think is fascinating about this is this solar eclipse that we've got, a total solar eclipse on March 20th, which is, of course, this amazing time for rebirth, plus a supermoon right after this G4. Basically, you guys, the universe has just poured opportunity on you to manifest. We got a call here. Caller, you are on live. I'm Danielle Agnew, your host. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Dave from L.A. We're old friends.
Ah, Dave, how are you? Thank you for calling. I'm so glad. Everybody, this is the famed David Harvey who notified me of the G4 solar thing that was happening. How are you, Dave?
You had me at Freakazoid, so I had to call.
That's awesome. So what are you experiencing?
And you're saying ionosphere very well. So don't worry about ionosphere.
Thank you. It's a lot of syllables. Holy cow. Jeez. So what are you experiencing? You're calling from Los Angeles down there. And how are you experiencing this event down there? What have you noticed?
You know, well, the past couple of nights has made me really tired. Not at night, but during the day. I feel like I haven't slept. I even like fell asleep for an hour and a half this afternoon because I just felt exhausted. So that's what this one's been doing to me. The interesting thing, and maybe some of your listeners can try this, is to close your eyes and see if you get any sort of visual feeling. I actually felt like I had water swirling, and I could see like swirls when my eyes were closed. And the interesting thing about this phenomenon is that many of the first astronauts who went up into a low Earth orbit reported seeing little sparks with trails when their eyes were closed. And those were actually cosmic rays that were going through their brain, through their retinas, and registering. They actually did a science experiment and figured that out. So, in times of high electromagnetic activity like this, you can even get some visual stuff going on when your eyes are closed. So that's kind of cool.
That is so cool, Dave. You know, I'll tell you, last night, I was laying there and it's interesting you said swirls. The night before last, especially, I was seeing almost like a really bad 1970s cloud effect, like those movies about the Bermuda Triangle when the plane would be flying through a swirly cloud. That's what I was seeing as I closed my eyes, and I thought, what in the hell? Yet I realized it's this energy.
Exactly. It sounds very similar to what I was sort of seeing when my eyes were closed, and I almost got dizzy from it. It's almost like the room was starting to spin with that energy. It's like almost a gravitational pull that you feel to it.
Oh, very much so. And I'm fascinated about your fatigue. I felt a little more tired today when I woke up, and I got plenty of sleep last night. I was just tuckered out when I woke up today. And thank God, Dave, in my job, I can just, you know, go ahead and put myself to the side and let all that channeling come through and it's fine. Yet when I got done today, I thought, holy buckets, I am just tired. Yet I do believe strongly that that is in part due to this heightened electromagnetic field that we're wandering around in today.
And just for history buffs out there, the last massive flare. I mean, one of the biggest ones that in recorded history was in 1859, just before the Civil War, when the Aurora Borealis was seen down in central Mexico. Okay.
Whoa.
And, it didn't impact. It doesn't affect the health of people per se. I mean, nobody got fried or hurt by it. But a telegraph had just come into use with the copper wires, and those caught fire spontaneously. So because of the difference in potential in electric fields being manifested, that's what fries all the electronic stuff. And so they had telegraph wires burning up in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly the keys would explode right in the little booths where they're getting where the guys are sitting with the keys and stuff. So that's what happened in 1859. And the trouble is we've developed the technology that is in our culture that we're so reliant on that, if we fried the electric grid, millions of people would die because it runs your water, it runs your refrigerator. I have camping gear. I know how to camp. If you know how to camp, you're in good shape. But, you know, there are vast numbers of people out there who have no idea of how to start a fire, how to cook without using a stove, you know. And that's the danger of it. And the fact is that if the transformers blow, they don't shut them down soon enough when the space weather warning comes out, then it takes up to a year to build a transformer for an electrical station. And so that's the danger of it, you know, the fact we're so reliant on electricity.
This is so very true. And for our listeners out there, obviously, clearly you can also tell, in addition to a spiritually sensitive person and a paranormal investigator, Dave is also a historian in many, many, many aspects. And I'm loving this, Dave. You know, in our chat room right now, Brian popped in and he's saying that event was called the Carrington Event in 1859. People commiserating with you about this. One of the questions, Dave, in our chat room right now, Brian is saying, if people have been working on ideas for the past few weeks, will the energy from the supermoon and the astrological change help those things that are already in process? Absolutely. That is absolutely true. It is wind in the sails. Dave, do you have anything you're currently working on?
Oh, I'm working on about a dozen things at the same time. That's me. I always have irons in the fire. So I've got a lot of things going on. The most important thing is to focus intention, but don't try too hard. Don't push out some sort of idea or I want this to happen. It's like wishing for the lottery and keeping to buy the tickets.
Exactly.
You know, just pushing it out there doesn't. You have to actually get into a what I call a flow, where you're at one with the moment, and that's when intention easily manifests. But what you get may not be what you think you're going to get. I mean, that's the thing about the mind. You have to have intention, but then you have to have action too. Just saying, well, I wish I had $1 million, and saying I'm going to do this on Friday. Well, let's see how many people say they got $1 million.
Yes, exactly. You have to do, people. You must do as well.
And it takes small steps. What you can do is you can say, I want a positive wave of energy for this idea. So this idea has hit my mind. I want to make this happen. I want to be given. I want to receive the information to make this happen. And I want positive energy to go out. And then small things start happening. It starts a little bit of a, you know, like a little pebble rolling down a mountainside that becomes a snowball and then becomes an avalanche. That's how you can build energy towards an idea. But it's a matter of creating a positive sort of bubble for it to, you know, be sent out to the universe. And then usually small things happen, and then, you know, you've got little, one foot instead of in front of the other, you know, you have to walk in order to get what you, what you'd like to see happen. You know
every time I hear that one foot in front of the other, Dave, I think of Rankin and Bass, the little claymation Rudolphs, put one foot in front of the other. I'm like, oh my God, really? Dave, you are fascinating, and it warms my heart to hear your voice, my dear friend down in Los Angeles. We have had so many wonderful adventures together paranormally, and we need to take a quick break. Yet we are going to be talking about ghosts and about investigating. So, you know, please, you know, stick around or feel free to call back, Dave, because I think I have a sneaking suspicion you may have some fascinating insights on this next topic coming up after the break.
All right, great.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for tuning in live. Thank you for the chat room. Thank you for calling in. Stick around. I'm Danielle Agnew. This is Sight Unseen. Don't go anywhere. Sight Unseen will be right back. Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here, inviting you to uncover secrets of the spiritual world in exquisite and disturbing detail through my eyes with my book, True Tales of the Truly Weird, Real Paranormal Accounts from a Real Psychic. From ghosts, demons, extraterrestrials, kachinas, elementals, to people who even cannibalize another person's liver, True Tales of the Truly Weird is an expose on what's really lurking beyond. Are you ready for the truth? Grab your hard copy or Kindle version today at Amazon.com. Also available for Nook and iBook.
Hey there, it's Rebecca from Fit Body Bootcamp Billings. We've got a new way of working out that can burn more fat and make your body more athletic in less time. I'm talking about the Fit Body Bootcamp fat-burning workouts that will do the job of a one-hour traditional workout in only 30 minutes. Our secret sauce is how we create the afterburn effect with combined resistance training and cardio to make sure you burn more fat after each session. Try our 21-day Fat Loss Inferno program to see for yourself. You'll get our exclusive program with our Fit Body Jumpstart Nutrition Plan. Call 850-8459 to reserve your spot. New members only, please.
At Soul Sync Body Work in downtown Billings, we're here to unlock your deepest relaxation potential with a combination treatment. Two practitioners at once for the price of one. Licensed massage therapist and Celtic tonal healer Marsha Reichert bathes you in the energy of hot stone massage and vocal tones, while holistic reflexologist Craig Harris relieves the tension in your day with a relaxing foot rub. Call Soul Sync Body Work for your appointment today at 281-0135 or visit soulsyncbodywork.com.
There is a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years,
and it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on.
Evil is the opposite of light and of God, and I think that that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Hey, psychic and medium Danielle Agnew here. It's that time of year, we're ramping into the holidays, and with that comes the holiday stress. Sleepless nights because your brain won't shut down. My meditation CD, Creation Whispers, is a massage for the mind. I've composed a musical canvas that specifically inspires theta waves in the brain, which triggers the deep relaxation that's necessary to fall asleep. Download my album, Creation Whispers, from iTunes today and get the rest your body is craving. Also available on CD at Barjans in downtown Billings.
Fit Body Bootcamp. Billings. Mind. Body. Life. Actual clients. Tell their stories.
My biggest success, going from a size 34 to a size 30 for my pants and losing 25 pounds.
I went from 25% body fat down to 15% body fat.
I have lost 45 pounds.
Fit Body Bootcamp Billings. 601 24th Street West in Westgate Village. Be the change you want to see.
And now, back to Sight Unseen. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Thank you for listening to Sight Unseen on this fabulous Wednesday. Man, I love our listeners, you guys. We have amazing listeners from all over the world, all over the country calling in. Calls tonight from Los Angeles, folks in the chat room from Michigan, clear out to Colorado. I mean, everybody is weighing in here to talk about issues that affect us. And our last segment, it's not quite a half hour, a little more than that. We were talking about the effects of this massive solar flare and this massive solar storm. And this rest of the show here, I want to focus on ghosts and paranormal activity, because really, when you have heightened EMF, what you have is a giant ghost environment that's going to be much more hospitable for, if you will, for spirits. And I'm using some really colloquial terms like ghosts and ghost environment. However, it's really, really interesting to me. And today, just for instance, I went across the street and my good friend Marsha Reichert, who many of you have heard on the show, she's a Celtic vocal healer. I went across the street today to her healing center, to Soul Sync Body Work, and I went upstairs, and that's in a building called the Boehner Building. It's in the Head and Empire Building. I'm in the Boehner Building. Good Lord, Daniel. And I went across the street to the Head and Empire Building, and that building has a lot of former humans in it. Well, they're still human. They just don't have a flesh suit. So I go walking upstairs, and I'm seeing a lot more spirit life actually with my eyeballs rather than my third eye or sixth sense, just as gray streaks walking by me on the stairs, because we have such a charged environment right now. Last Tuesday, okay, not yesterday, but a week ago, Tuesday, I was very graciously asked, and I thought they were amazing, to actually go and communicate with some former humans down at the Western Heritage Center here in Billings, Montana. And the Western Heritage Center was the original Billings Parmley Library here. And it was so haunted, but not in a bad way. A lot of really positive spirits. One kind of gnarly guy who got his legs blown off, apparently doing some railroad work east here of Billings in a place called Huntley. And so we had a little chat about his legs and why he was so gnarly and what he was doing there. However, right now, if you are a paranormal investigator, this is a really, really good time between now and this supermoon coming up to get out there and try to vibe what you're feeling and what you're sensing. And on conversely with that, if you're someone who's really wanting to get in touch with your angelic life and with other off-worlders, UFOs, guides in this capacity, the energies from this big G4 solar flare, in addition to this heightened supermoon coming up and the opening of these vortex points, this is a fantastic time to actually get in there and be able to communicate with your guides and your spirits. And I love the fact that it's been a little bit of a weirdo soup. My wife has been insisting that this energetic mix-up that we're feeling is Mercury retrograde. And we're not in retrograde yet. I noticed Jeanette in our chat room said, I know, Danielle, it feels like Mercury retrograde. Yeah, it does feel like Mercury retrograde with this big G4 spike and the fatigue and things going wrong. A lot of internet problems today for people, cell phone problems. It's been a little difficult. It's been a little sketchy. So what's unbelievably interesting is that as we are studying the effect of EMF on the Earth, and as we are experiencing more of these solar flares, we do have an opportunity to receive greater messages. When I was ghost hunting, and I still do a significant amount of it here and there, as a matter of fact, our caller last segment, David Harvey, and I have been on some really interesting ghost investigations and some pretty hefty ones. And Dave is very intuitive himself and brings that gift to the table when we come investigating. And one of the most profound moments that I've noted with our thinning of our ethers, because this is a thin ether time, guys, is that there's a lot of spirit life that's coming forward and wanting recognition right now. And I don't know if you guys at home are noticing that. I absolutely am noticing that there is a lot of spirit life, like today at the Head and Empire building, that is really wanting to chat because they have enough, if you will, enough juice right now, in part due to this G4 solar flare, that they're wanting to come out and say, hey, what's going on and what's up? This also is causing feelings of, if you will, kind of weirdness for people. About 3 a.m, the night of the solar flare, I walked out into my house and felt this unbelievably unsettling presence, the type of presence I haven't felt in a very, very long time because it just stays away from me and I stay away from it. And nary shall the paths meet. Neither one of us need to cross each other's paths, but I felt this very heavy, dark feeling. And my house is clearly not haunted, okay? Yet this thing was passing through. And I feel very much that one of the reasons that it was passing through was because we had this jacked up electromagnetic field, or almost it was getting there. It was traveling towards the Earth. And what I'm fascinated by here is the fact that I acknowledged this thing. It was very dark and very gnarly. And I thought, okay, what are you even doing here? I wasn't necessarily afraid of it. It just felt gross, like stepping in dog poo with bare feet. That would feel gross. Okay, you're not afraid of the poo. It just feels nasty as it squished between your toes. So that was gross. However, this feeling of yuck kind of came up. And it was unusual because normally stuff that's that dark, like I said, it stays well away from me. I stay well away from it, whatever. Yet it had enough charge in the air for it to kind of come and poke around and look at me. And I was awakened just out of a dead sleep at exactly 3 a.m., which is a time frame that that kind of really dark, yucky stuff loves to noodle around at. I mean, just poof, I was awake. And of course, what do? You got to use the restroom. So that's what I did. But considering this, it's not just scary stuff. I have clients coming into me right now talking about how they're dreaming about deceased loved ones that have messages for them and what this means for them, which I think is unbelievably cool. Not only that, but I'm watching people receive prompts from their angels during readings because at the same time I'm hearing their angels say XYZ, out of their mouth is coming XYZ. They're in perfect tandem with these entities that are constantly helping us along, which again, I think is so flipping cool. You know, one of the reasons that certain spirits stick around and others don't. There's many, many reasons for this. And one of the reasons they stick around is because A, they may not know their past, or B, they know they've passed on and want to hang around, or C, which I encounter a great deal, and Dave Harvey and I encountered a spirit who was C at one point. They don't want to cross over because they did some really gnarly stuff in life, and they're afraid if they cross over, they're going to go straight to hell. So they hang on, and they hang around in the in-between cracks and the in-between ethers between that vibration that is the next plane, or heaven, if you will, and here. And that makes people a little weird. If you hang around in that space for too long in denial that you've passed on, or you can be okay with passing on, except it's a lonely place in that in-between place. You can call it purgatory if you want, yet we are designed to go back to source or back to God when we pass on and go into the light. So folks who tend to hang around for whatever reason, unless they are with a like group of people and that gets to be their heaven, is to hang around the house that they once lived, spirits that remain earthbound over a great amount of time start to get a little weird. They start to get a little sideways. Kind of like if you take a human being and you just lock them up in a room by themselves for too long, they get really strange. And spirits do the same thing, because there is an in-between space here, between earth and, if you will, heaven. And I don't want to call it purgatory, but I have seen spirits go a little sideways. Oh, I hope. All right. I hope. Caller, thank you for calling in. What is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Beck. I'm Dave.
Oh, Dave, that's awesome. I was sitting here going, oh, I hope. I almost said, I think this is Dave, but I thought, okay, let's not be presumptuous. I could feel you. Dave.
I hung up to give other people a chance to call, you know?
So, oh, well, that's very kind. Well, I'm glad you called in because, you know, you and I have investigated together. You have dealt a lot with negative and dark energies and entities. And I would love you to weigh in for our listeners about your process with that and dealing with spirits that have gone a little sideways because maybe they've just stuck around a little too long.
Well, you know, I think you gotta go back to, I consult on cases all across the USA. So, you know, I deal almost exclusively by email and phone. And when someone contacts me and tells me their story, often it's like, oh, I was creeped out, or, you know, I saw a shadow, or, you know, there was this knocking, or I heard like the sound of stuff in the kitchen going on at 2 a.m. And you know, I actually spend a lot of time interviewing them to get specifics, because the specific information really matters in trying to figure out what's going on. You know, so as soon as somebody tells me, let's say, I hear footsteps on the stairs, and, you know, so I ask them, and, you know, was anybody else at home? No, just you. Okay. And then I say, have you heard that before? And 8 out of 10 will say, yeah. And I say, does it sound the same? Is it the same rhythm, the same pattern, you know, the same weight of footfall you hear?
Right.
And most of them say yes. And then I explain to them what a residual is, which is, it's not a residual haunting, and it's not really a haunting. It's just the energy that has happened in that house or on that property that repeats given certain conditions. Now, it could be environmental, it could be geological, but it's like a CD player that skips and comes back and plays the same thing and then skips again. And so whenever you get reports of the same thing happening, like the famous lady in white in England who walks the same path and goes through the same wall and doesn't notice anybody around her, but if it's repetitive like that, it's residual. And so, you know,
like a hologram, playing over and over.
Yeah. So, you know, if the ghost, you know, an intelligent haunt is where spirit is going to notice you. They're going to interact. They're going to do different things. They'll react to what you do, you know. And so that's different when you have sort of a consciousness you're dealing with. But a residual is just something that repeats. And, you know, you can calm the general energy in the house down. There are ways of doing that in order to dampen down the kind of energy field that manifests that. And electromagnetic energy can be one of the sources of that, as well as, you know, a lot of it comes from, you know, people build houses on places where the Native Americans never built houses. And, never lived because they understood that's a hot spot. That's a place where there's a vortex or a ley line. It's very spiritual and nobody goes in there.
Right, exactly. And,
yeah. I'm sitting, you know, the house I'm living in now is on top of a hill with just, it's just full of like little shadow raccoons running around and, you know, full of elementals. And
awesome. You know, that's awesome. Great.
Yeah, every week I see them running, see little shadows running around. I go, okay. And, some people just live in very active locations and it's the ground underneath. And there's not a lot you can do about that other than to try and just keep the house itself calm and the energy will come and go. And, and then there are people who live literally in dead zones where nothing happens, you know? So, if it's a human spirit and it's a consciousness, you know, the first thing you want to do is get noticed. Let's say you've been in the dark for 150 years in Billings, Montana, and, somebody new comes into the house and you try and kick things up to get noticed because you want to let somebody know you're there. And if somebody has any smidgen of sensitivity, empathic ability, or psychic ability, you're like a bright light to them. So
absolutely.
They're going to be like a moth.
Yep.
They're going to focus on you and they'll kick stuff up. Objects will move. Lights will turn on and off. You'll see the shadows. You'll hear the sounds, you know, and, when I do investigations, I look for the reasonable stuff. You know, the knocking sound could be something inside the wall or a branch outside that's tapping the outside of the house. You know, so I eliminate all the reasonable stuff first. I look for that.
That's very, very important, you guys. Really quickly before you go to the third thing, Dave, that's really important that you go ahead and you separate what could be an active haunting or an intelligent haunting, like a ghost that's hanging out, or just this energetic replay or elementals or whatnot coming through vortex points. It all doesn't mean that you're going to heck in a handbasket. So make sure you run through those two and go for three, Dave.
The other thing to look for, that I look for, is whether more than one person is experiencing the activity. This past year, at least past few months, I've been contacted with people who claim possession or somebody they know is possessed. And, you know, I mean, really sort of not exciting, but really dangerous type things where you really worry about the health of the person. And it turns out in all of those reports I'm getting, nobody else experiences anything other than the person who's afflicted.
Right.
And so, you know, the first, that rings a bell in my mind. If nobody else is, if only one person experiences it, it's like, go see a psychologist, go see a doctor.
Right.
Get screened first. Because I'm not going to tell somebody, you know, you're possessed by the devil. And a lot of people jump to that conclusion right away when they could have a medical problem. So, you know, I immediately say, get screened first. Let's make sure you're okay. That's a big red flag when only one person experiences it. Now, there are times when it could be that this one person has an attachment and nobody in the house is really sensitive or noticing what's going on.
Right.
And this thing is really feeding off this person, so they're not manifesting too much around other people. So, I mean, you get very specific information from people so that you can build up a list of the activity. And the activity usually guides you to what it could be. Because let's say you walk in the backyard and pebbles get thrown at you all the time and there's nobody throwing them. That's more likely an earth elemental.
Oh, yeah. That's not pissy elemental behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you look for things like that. And, there are ways of discerning it. It's, we have thousands of years of spiritual history written down in all the various traditions. And they're like guidebooks to this stuff. So, you know, you have to understand that there's a, you know, the sort of Christianity has its own filter, Buddhism has its filter, and all the other traditions. So you have to understand they're talking symbolically, and it's sort of translated into their own perspectives, but they're talking about the same thing, which is, you know, there are a lot of unseen things in the world, and special people can see these things, not everybody can, and that they're dangerous, and you have to be able to protect yourself from them. So, you know, I call it the history of belief. And so as a historian, I think there's validity to that. And if you're going to understand this unseen world, that's the place to start.
Absolutely, Dave. That is absolutely true. And geez, we just got a couple more minutes here before we got to wrap up. I got to have you back on, Dave, just to talk about, you know, paranormal stuff. It's so fun to investigate with you. Just quickly here, you and I have worked on a few cases in person together since I moved to Montana, just a couple that we've batted around long distance. And I've had the opportunity to weigh in on some cases that you were contacted about with folks that are out in, out back east and all kinds of spots. And this is a hot spot question for you with like 1 minute left here, but just in maybe a minute or even less than that, can you give folks a super quickie bullet point difference between a djinn and nasty elemental and a demon?
Okay. Various traditions have their own demons. The djinn were basically classically Middle Eastern demons of the desert, and they're the earliest type of demons. The Hebrews basically used the word djinn before the word translated into demon, which came hundreds and hundreds of years later. So, most people think of demons as the classical sort of Roman Catholic sorts of demons. Okay. So there are those types. But a djinn is, again, something from a wasteland or a deserted area, and that they can manifest human form. They are smokeless fire in Islamic tradition, which means that if there is a smell of like a campfire inside your house and nobody's been burning anything for months, that could be a sign of djinn. I've run into a lot of djinn cases out here in California, and people say, why would something from the Middle East be out here? Well, people travel.
You know what, Dave? I hate to cut you off, darling. We got about 5 more seconds. Thank you so much for calling, everybody. Tune in next week with more Sight Unseen. Thanks for listening.